I'm reading a poem called The Weight of the Butterfly Flower by Marty. The flowering peach, a daughter's bloom, each February she lived in tiny pink bud. Her tree fed my memory, flitted across my vision, with nectar so sweet with sorrow. That sky wept. Oh, such weight the delicate pink butterfly flower held. It took her place somehow, and lived for her each year. A tree gift from the fluttering girls and boys of second grade, now almost middle-aged, with children named Michelle, perhaps. She will always be eight, the bright and moving child of my youth, so spark and full of fire. The first that captured my heart and held it. She holds it still. She died again this fall, Michelle. Her leaves turned and bid a final tremble to the ground. The tree no longer lives, just a sentinel stark and bleak, its gamine trunk. But under the canopy that burned my heart again, from brown and rotting leaves, emerges the everlasting circle of creation, a fragile new beginning, strong with claims of yes.
This reading is called If I Should Die, and I Will Someday, by Ken Nye. If I should die, and I will someday, I won't be far away, you will see me. When the big golden retriever ambles in and lies down under the kitchen table, he's lying at my feet, I'm at the chair. When Anne throws the covers off and heads for the warm bathroom, I'm in the dressing room, up and ready to go. I'm watching the birds at the feeder. I'm waiting for the tulips to bloom and the flowering shrubs to burst in color. I'm down in the barn, fiddling with the old tractor. Where I used to be, I am still there. Whatever I used to do, I still do it. You will see me. If I should die, and I will someday, I hope when that happens that I'm still in the game. When I was a boy, I would dream of being carried out on a stretcher while the cheerleaders wept. And of course, I would return to the conflict to even greater glory. But I can't expect to return to play. But the game has been such fun. I won't leave here right away. I'm still here. You will see me. My life has been a joyful banquet. Plenty of frosting and cake, delectable appetizers, and nourishing and filling main courses. Many friends at our table share the feast. Some on the guest list, some have moved on. Where I sat, I am still sitting. Where I worked, I am still there. I am with those I love. I am with my family. I am with my dog. I am with my friends. No, I am too much a part of all these things. If I should die, and I will someday, I won't be too far away. You will see me.
I like to think of my grandmother as the heart of our family. She is what keeps us all going with her warmth and love. At family gatherings, she has always been someone that everyone surrounds because we love to see her smile or hear her heartwarming laugh, the laugh that just makes you want to laugh along with her. However, a few years ago, my grandfather, the love of my Mimi's life, passed away. I felt it was very sudden, and I was unprepared to deal with the immense sense of bewilderment and grief that settled like a fine dust throughout my entire being. If it was this hard for me, I can hardly imagine how hard it must have been on my Mimi. There was a slight shift in her that resulted from his death. I never saw her break down in front of me, but I have seen her tear up and get emotional at times. Whenever one of us mentions a memory about him, she's known to tear up. Or it could even be a scene on TV where an old couple is holding hands in the park that I look over and her eyes have misted. Every day she awakes in an empty house to go about her schedule alone. She has regular meetings with her friends, but lately these meetings have become even more stressful on her. Many of her friends have been diagnosed with medical problems. One of her closest friends has Alzheimer's disease. Even though these circumstances shake her up a bit, she doesn't allow them to interfere with her relationships or her mindset. She still approaches life head on and accepts life always bearing a smile. She continues to call her friend with Alzheimer's regularly to remind her of dates like doctors and dentist appointments she has coming up, and then picks her up to accompany her to those appointments. This unwavering love and care isn't something my Mimi thinks about. She just does it out of the goodness of her heart, and I greatly admire her for that. Yet I have noticed lately that she has changed, probably as a result of living alone, watching her friends pass on, lose their memory, or just age with passing time. She's become less aware of subtle cues in human behavior, and often you have to repeat yourself to make her understand what you mean. I suppose this is just something that comes with age, but seeing it happen to my Mimi, the heart of our family, is very strange to me. I often find myself wondering if she will change even more, or if she will pass on soon to join my grandfather once again. Whenever I find myself thinking about this, I immediately try to convince myself she's here to stay. She won't die. It is almost impossible for me to imagine our family without a heart, but I know eventually this is inevitable. And thinking about it now, I want to cancel the thought in hopes that it will never happen, for I'm scared about how my life will change once she's gone. But I know my grandmother is not afraid. She doesn't fret about when life will end. She lives in the moment and doesn't worry about things which are outside of her control. I will come and visit her sometimes and talk to her about the future and say things like, when Jenny, my oldest cousin who is 30, has her second baby, you will get to go down to North Carolina and visit her. Maybe, my grandmother says, if I live to be that old, sweetie, I'm not going to live much longer. She says this calmly and carefully, as if it is a well-known fact, a touchy subject. Don't say that, I insist, looking deep into her eyes, and try to ignore the cold feeling in the pit of my stomach. But I get nothing more than a sweet, knowing smile from my grandmother. I don't believe that she welcomes death to her, just that she accepts that she is part of the cycle of life, and there is nothing she can do to change her course. She hopes to see my grandfather again, and in some ways I think she's ready to move on. She rarely talks about death, but when she does, she gets a calm and compliant mood about her. My grandmother, my Mimi, has taught me many lessons ever since I was born, one being not to worry about things you can't control, like when you're going to die. Just keep your heart always open and love everyone as if they are your dearest family, and live your life to the fullest. She once sent me a note that had the message that made me realize death isn't something to be scared of. It's just something that happens to everyone. Loving, exploring, and experiencing is all you can, is what you should concentrate on. So now I realize my Mimi accepts death, but she always lives on.
I'm going to begin with the reading of a famous poem by Mary Oliver, which many of you may be familiar with. It's called Summer Day. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean. The one who has flung herself out of the grass. The one who is eating sugar out of my hand. Who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I don't know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Now, if everyone would please close their eyes, imagine It's your 80th birthday party, or for some of you, your 100th birthday party. All your closest friends and family have gathered, and you're looking back on your life. As you blow out all the candles, all the memories of your life flash before your eyes. A mixed bag of emotions confront you as you recall your life's experiences. Sorrow from an unfortunate accident, joy from the birth of your kids, getting married, and the precious life around you. Now, as you open your eyes and look around at your loved ones, have you lived your life with no regrets? Have you seized every single opportunity available? Taken bold steps and followed your dreams? The greatest mistake in life you can make, Albert Hubbard once said, is to continually be afraid to make one. Now, I don't know about you, but I've missed opportunities. It's true, I have. I've played it safe. I've chosen caution over adrenaline, comfort over challenge. I think it's pretty safe to say we all have. But what I've realized is that taking advantage of opportunities is the single most important aspect of having a successful life. In order to be a true success, you have to take risks. At that birthday party, do you want to tell everyone of your adventures and successes, or what could have been? Life shouldn't be squandered by just getting by every day, but rather every day championed as your last. Each day should be looked at as 24 hours of opportunity, a time to be bold. However, the most important thing about taking risks is that you have to fail. While failure may seem devastating at times, one cannot be a real success without ever experiencing it. Critical to the quality of someone's character is how they react to failure. If anything, failure is a chance to learn something. Albert Hubbard also said that failure is a man who has blundered but is not able to cash in on the experience. So I ask you all, whether you're at the beginning of your life or the end, to live every last day to its fullest. Go through those double doors and challenge yourself. Take chances, embrace ambition, dare failure, and learn from it. Helen Keller once wrote that life is either a daring adventure or nothing. Go live boldly and never look back. I ask that all of you now please close your eyes again. Imagine you are perched high on a diving board above the pool of life. Before you lay countless opportunities, a multitude of challenges, and mountains of adversity to overcome. Will you be timid or bold, cautious or adventurous? Are you going to take each and every day and seize it, or let it slip through your fingertips? Are you going to take that blind step, provoke failure, and chance defeat? Still perched precariously above the pool, you shuffle your feet nervously. Concentrate, take a deep breath, and jump.